Hill this morning. As Roger and I planned this service, we thought of how we keep our feet on the path, on the way. How do we discipline ourselves to keep to it and grow? It takes a lot of practice to do this, and so we planned our service to look at a few spiritual practices to help us on the way. You might see them as basic, but I think it helps to be reminded at times. We've selected some scriptures and some readings and some from scripture and quite a few songs to sing this morning to relate or to demonstrate these spiritual practices. Then Roger will share some of his thoughts in his message entitled Practice Makes Better. So for our call to worship, let's turn to number 190 and sing the story, The Purple Book. People of God, look about and see the faces of those we know and love.
Neighbors and friends, sisters and brothers, a community of kindred hearts.
People of God, look about and see the faces of those we hardly know. People of God, look about you and see all the images of God assembled here.
In me, in you, in each of us, God's Spirit shines for all to see.
People of God, come. Let us worship together. And now let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. God, you've called us to be your family and asked us to remember you. We want to grow in our relationship with you, and so we've gathered in this place to worship and walk together on this journey. Amen. So now we're going to sing some songs. Oh no, I need to read Psalm 119 first, sorry. This scripture is about meditating on God's word, which is the first practice that we're going to look at. So I thought this really said it very well. Psalm 119, verses 10 through 16. With my whole heart, I seek you. Do not let me stray from your commandments. I treasure your word in my heart so that I may not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. With my lips, I declare all the ordinances of your mouth. I delight in the way of your decrees as much as in all riches. I will meditate on your precepts and fix my eyes on your ways. I will delight in your statutes. I will not forget your word. So now let's turn to the hymnal. Number 594.
Thank you.
For our second spiritual practice, I'd like to focus on praise and thanksgiving, which is always my favorite thing to do. And we're going to be reading 821 in the hymnal together. I will read the light print and you follow in the dark. This is from Psalm 100. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing.
Know that the Lord is God. It is he that made us, and we are his. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture.
Enter his gates with thanksgiving, and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name, for the Lord is good. And now let's turn to number 50 in the hymnal, and Jess will lead us.
Not very many people. We got to sing really loud.
Thank you. Good morning, children. I'm so glad we have some of you here. We're going to talk to you about prayer this morning, and I'm going to start by reading a scripture from Luke. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given you. Search, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened for you. For everyone who asks receives, and everyone who searches finds. And for everyone who knocks, the door will be opened.
Amen. So I wanted to ask you about prayer today. Do any of you pray? You pray? Why? Ah. Well, when I was your age, I mainly prayed because my parents told me to. Is that why you pray? That's why I did. For a long time when we prayed, we would before a meal we'd pray, and at night before we'd go to bed we'd pray. Now I understood the one of the night going to bed because I was scared. There were things in the closet and there were things under the bed, and luckily I had covers that protected me. And they were magic. And I could lay underneath there and nothing could get me. Do you have those problems? Yeah. Well, the first time I learned about prayer was when my aunt told me, she said, well, you know what? The reason that cover's magic is because when you pray, God protects you. And I said, oh. So I started reading in the Bible and I found out that we were told to pray. And we have an example of prayer. You know what the example of prayer is in the Bible? You know what that is? It's the Lord's Prayer. It's new. So it says that we should pray to God and ask for things. And I thought, you get to ask for things. Now, I was into that. I liked asking for things. So I had a whole list of things to pray for. And one night I was doing that before I went to bed, asking for a bunch of things. And my mother said, well, you know, you should probably ask for, you know, other people. You should think about other people when you pray. And why? I didn't understand that, you know, well, other people need help too, and you're and I thought, okay. So that was one of the things that started me learning how to pray. And so prayer has become an important, and God listens when we pray. And that was a hard concept for me to understand too, because I'm, you know, when you talk to somebody, prayer is talking to God, and that's all it is just petitioning God, talking to God, and God especially likes it when you tell God how great God is. God's into that. And so you can do that. You can say, you are a great and wonderful God. Thank you for putting me here on this earth, for giving me good parents, for giving me a home, for the food that I eat, and all things that you can be grateful for. So one of the things we're going to talk about today is praise and prayer. So let's pray just a little bit. Thank you, God, for these people that are here. Thank you especially for the young ones that are up in front here. Bless them. Bless them through the time in their working here in this world and growing and learning about you. Give us grace and kindness to think of others and to praise you always as our great God. Amen. Goodbye.
Let's pray. God, accept our offering of money as an act of worship in gratitude for all that you provide. Amen. Our third spiritual practice to focus on would be serving and giving. And I'm going to read a passage from 1 Peter that deals nicely with that. Above all, maintain constant love for one another, for love covers a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without complaining. Like good stewards of the manifold grace of God, serve one another with whatever gift each of you has received. Whoever speaks must do so as one speaking the very words of God. Whoever serves must do so with the strength that God supplies, so that God may be glorified in all things through Jesus Christ. So now turn in your hymnals to number 548, Teach Me Thy Truth.
Let's pray. Thank you, God, for this day. Thank you for those who are here, and we pray especially for those who are not here. Be with them, guide and direct them, guide us while we're in our service today. Bless us and keep us in your will. Amen. Dawn told me the title of my sermon was Practice Makes Better, and I decided it wasn't really a sermon, it was more of a talk. So I don't know that I want to give it that lofty goal here. I spoke the other week about riding bike and how much I enjoy it. And I really do. I have found that if I don't ride bike regularly, I'm as much of a grump as if Daryl doesn't take me fishing or my wife doesn't go fishing with me. So while we're talking today, the title of our subject is training on the way. And I saw a number of parallels between training on the bike and worshiping and developing a relationship with God. And mainly because my bike riding has given me a closer understanding, or maybe a closer relationship with God. If you practice on a bike and you ride on a bike, sometimes you start thinking, hey, I want to go a little bit further or a little bit faster. Not always, but sometimes it happens. It also happens on your faith journey. My first Bible was a King James Version. I don't know how many of you got one of those, but it was a little black one that signed with loving care from my parents and my aunt and my Sunday school teacher and my pastor and everybody, hoping that it would somehow make some difference in my life. King James Version is a little bit like going to see a Shakespeare play, Midsummer Night's Dream. When you first start listening to King James, you're going, what? I don't know. But as you listen, like Midsummer Night's Dream, you suddenly get into the flow and the rhythm of the message of what's coming out of the Bible. And we did that. Dawn and the boys and I went up to Stratford, Ontario, and went to the Shakespeare Festival. And I got about halfway through the Midsummer thing, and I was not catching on, and I was about to give up when suddenly it just sort of started clicking, and I could understand the rhythm that first of all, they were incredible actors and actresses up there. They were doing a great job, and I was trying to listen and suddenly started picking up on what they're saying and what the meanings were of those strange words that were coming out of their mouth. So I enjoyed the other two plays that we had and half of Midsummer Night's Dream. After reading the King James Bible, you get more of a sense of it and it becomes more familiar, and it became so familiar with me, I really had trouble getting into other versions that we were pressed here by somebody to get into. One of the things I did enjoy was our small group. We did a story of the life of Jesus. We read scripture through that, and we would read different versions. Enos would always read the King James Version. He had the right inflection on the words to speak with the right little Dutchy accent that he had. So I got into listening to him reading that scripture and hearing him give those little inflections. So I got into a lot of the different Bibles. I mean, we all remember the Living Bible, the Message, you know, that you got there for a while, the NIV and the RSVP. Just seeing if you're listening. Those are also specials, or also things that happen on your bike. You go through different phases of things as you learn on the bicycle. Meditating on the Word. Years ago, I heard about other bikers riding bikes. I remember the group that went up north, Bob took a bunch of people up there and they rode out through the hills. And I always thought that was kind of crazy, but I enjoyed listening to them talk about how they enjoyed those rides and watching Jane fly down the hills and trying to wipe people out. So I thought, maybe that's something I would enjoy. It's a little bit like watching other Christians and thinking, hey, I might enjoy that too. But the story I've got to tell you is Walnut Hill used to have a bike ride up on the Kalamazoo Trail. And we used to go every year with a pretty good-sized group, and we went up there and rode on the Kalamazoo Trail, beginning and end. And we did it for a number of years. Well, one year we got up there, and it was cold, and it was wet, and it just wasn't very conducive to riding, especially in the state that I was in. And so I took off on my bike. I got everybody around, all the kids on their bikes, everybody going. And I rode about half a mile, and I said, this is stupid. I am not enjoying this. So I went back to my pickup truck, and I was sitting in my pickup truck when I looked across the parking lot, and there was Bob sitting in his pickup truck. And I think we were kind of the two instigators of this ride, and I felt a little bit bad for like 2 seconds. And so Bob and I went across the street, and we had coffee. And there was when they first came out with those mocha machines, I could get mocha. We sat there and drank coffee. Well, it was a while later, the group started trickling back in, had made their ride and were trickling back in. And Roma came in with her kids and her big kid, her husband. And she was ticked at Bob and I, and she laid into us. I mean, she blasted us for because she was mad that she had gone out on the ride, taken all her kids out there, and Bob and I sat there and drank coffee. So, you know, there are limits to things that the people do and examples to follow, and we are, I guess, encouraged. So after that, I always went on rides. I also think that there are times when you look for examples on how to buy a bike, or maybe when you look at your Christian life on what it is that you want to follow. I saw the importance of spiritual life in my mom and dad and my aunts and uncles. They all seem to be people going off to Africa or Korea or China or someplace all the time. And I got a lot of world impact from those people coming back. I especially remember my aunt coming back and feeding me food from India and preparing it really well. And I loved those things. And I thought, well, that is a spiritual practice that she offered as a giving of food to others. And so I began to enjoy the practice of sitting down and eating meals together. And it fits along with my bike riding, especially with here at the church. My first bike were very basic and sufficient for what I needed. Didn't need anything much more. But as I rode with others and I worked with others, I was encouraged to do more. And one of the things that kept me from doing more was that I was very busy. At that time, we were raising a family, and I worked a lot of hours during the day, and then sometimes on Saturday, and even periodically Sunday mornings, I would work. And my busyness kept me from doing things that I really enjoyed, and one of them was learning how to ride a bike. When I finally decided that which of all my activities, at the time I did a lot of other activities, I had a number of things I enjoyed, and I decided some of them had to go. As much as I enjoyed them, they were taking up too much time. So I let all my other activities except fishing and biking go. I kept those two. They won out. And I think that also is a little bit sometimes when we look at the busyness of our lives here and our life, is that going to church needs to be more important than biking or fishing. Not that Lloyd Bruger didn't take me out fishing on Sundays every once in a while, or going on bike rides on Sundays aren't important. But one of the things I also found out about my busyness is that somehow in that busyness, you also need to carve out a chunk of time for you. Let you get away, let you do your own thing, let you go out and just relax. And that has become important to me. Lloyd was a very active member of the church here a number of years ago, but he also encouraged me that there were times when we needed to go out and carve out that time for ourselves. Praise and thanksgiving. This is a good one for me. Biking gives you the opportunity to be grateful for many things. Early morning sunrise is a wonderful time to be out on a bike. The other thing I enjoy is safe trails and just enjoying having a body that allows me to be able to do that. One of the things that you find out when you ride on long rides is that they're difficult and they're tiring and muscles give out and things start happening that you're not aware of. But it is good to learn the limits of your body, what your body can do. And it isn't until you get out and really push hard to see what it is that you can do. And it's a little bit like our spiritual life. Sometimes we feel very comfortable in a spot, and then other times we allow ourselves to be pushed into different areas. And we had a little parallel, I think, here too, as one of the things, we have a busy life, we're raising children, and then, oh yes, if you're a pastor, you've got to get some time away to put together a sermon for Sunday. Praising is a thing that I remember especially about Dean Slagle. Some of you may remember his interesting sharing. I especially remember the one about the robins. Where did they go? And I thought, what in the world? But it stuck with me. And I remembered listening, thinking of that over in my head. And what that sharing that Dean did, although it was sometimes about trivial things, finding nuts and screws and bolts, but it reminded me that when I am living my life, that there are many things out there that happen that I not only have to be grateful for, but I should thank God for allowing those things to happen. I thank God now for motors that start sometimes when we didn't think they would. For green lights when going down Goshen. That has been a blessing to me at times. And yes, Dean, I even remember to thank him for nuts and bolts that are lost and found. Also for good food. Prayer is something that I am involved with also in my biking. One of the things that prayer does is it helps to get that song worm out of your head. If you bike and you have listened to a song lately, it sticks in your head and suddenly you're singing that song, you can't get it out of your head, and then you start pedaling to it. And I don't need slow songs to pedal to. I need Mick Jagger to, because it, yeah, whatever. The first song I remember was we went to a movie and there was a little vignette in the front that said it was about two islands or two volcanoes and erupting. You remember what it was? Anyhow, the song was "I Lava You, You Lava Me," and from Shipshewana, clear to Shipshewana and back. That song was going over and over in my head until finally I thought, huh, I can pray and get that out of my head. Also, prayer happens when you're going up a hill. And my first sojourn from Goshen to Shipshewana and back, I was completely wiped out. I had two bottles of water when I started, and I had them gone before I was even in Middlebury. So I was dry from Shipshewana all the way back. None of the stores were open, nothing was going on, and I was tired. I got to the rest stop at County Road 22, just going into Middlebury. That Middlebury Road there's a little rest area there for the bikers. And I pulled in there, and I thought, I gotta call Dawn. I'm done, this is it. Here came my sister-in-law and her daughter, my niece, and pulled in right behind me. And I said, what are you doing here? Well, we just happened to come here for a walk. We just wanted to. And I said, you're kidding. And I told them, you know, about how tired I was. And Joyce said, well, I can go get you some water and get you some food and stuff. And so she went off and went to the store and got some water, brought me back some food, and I got going. And I thought, wow, this is really good. Well, about halfway back to Goshen, I crashed again. And I was trying to get back to a meeting here at the church with Jane. And I was getting later and later. And I remember coming up, getting off the pumpkin vine ride or trail, and then going up the hill at the Boys and Girls Club to come here. It's not that bad a hill, but after you've ridden from Goshen to Middlebury or Goshen to Shipshewana and back, it is. And I was pedaling as hard as I could, and I knew I wasn't doing too well when the lady in the buggy passed me. She offered to help, but I refused to take the help. I thought I could get up there, and I managed to do it. But other prayers that I have offered is when I was climbing hills in Georgia. There's a mountain there called Blood Mountain, and I rode, and it was a 1,300-foot climb. And I remember praying out loud. And as other people were passing me, they kind of looked at me, and I told them I'd put them on my prayer list. Prayer lists are also something that I have evolved into with my writing. When I talk to people, sometimes they share about, oh, this is happening to me, or this is something that I'm having happen in my life I'm not real comfortable with. And it's an easy thing to say, well, you know, I ride bike every once in a while, and during my bike rides, I pray for people. Would you like to be on my list? And I've never had anybody say no to that. They've all agreed that that was a good thing. And so it's a good way for me to open myself up to others and be a bit more vulnerable. And time of prayer also keeps me closer to God, and also a closer relationship with the people that I'm praying for. Serving and giving. One of the issues I discovered by riding distances is that I make poor choices. Don't know why, but then I found out. When I come to a fork in the road, I take the wrong one. It's a rougher road that I took. It's a longer distance. It's just a bad decision. An example is one, I was down in Punta Gorda one time, and I was riding around the thing. They have great trails there, and I came to a fork, and I took it, and I rode, and I rode, and all of a sudden I realized I was headed for Fort Myers. I was going to do about a 30-mile ride that turned into a 70-mile ride, and I was dying. It was Florida, it was hot, it was muggy, it was miserable. I was out of food, I was out of water again. And up ahead of me, along the road, was a lady in a food truck. And I thought, maybe she can at least have some water for me. So I pulled in there. She spoke absolutely no English. And my Spanish isn't good enough to order a pizza. So I was in deep trouble. But I went up to her, and she looked at the bike, and she just kind of smiled, and she, just a minute. And she went out and started up her generator in her truck. She had been sitting there. Apparently, she wasn't prepared for people to come by. She started up her generator, and she made me two of the best smoothies I think I have ever had in my life. They had mango, bananas, all the good things that I needed for that ride. And then she gave me some other food to eat, and it kept me alive, and I made it back to the hotel where we were staying, but not in time for dinner, but at least I made it back. This stupidity that hits you when you're riding is due to, according to my sources, dehydration. You're not getting enough water stuck in your body. And your brain is the thing that your body says, well, look, all the brain has got to do is tell you to pedal. The rest of your body's doing all the work, so we're gonna put all the energy and everything that's supposed to go to into your body, and your brain just sort of goes on freeze. And that's what happens, and so it's important to be hydrated. And according to many examples that I've had, that dehydration thing is incredibly taxing to your brain. This thing that I have done this dehydration process that I've gone through wouldn't have happened if I hadn't extended myself a little bit, if I hadn't ridden to Shipshewana and back, or if I hadn't run ridden 100 miles one day, or doing things that push you a little bit to your limits. And what that also allows me to do is when I'm writing is to remind people that I'm writing with, drink your water. Another way I serve the biking community is on the Pumpkin Vine board. And Bob and I have worked on cutting trees down along the trail, patching cracks on the trail, and just overall grooming. And it provides other people a safe place to ride their bike. The same way that teaching Sunday school or working on the PCRC or the CPKP, whatever group it is, helps me feel connected to the church. And so it's similar in that. So just as by practicing my bike skills helps me to keep it possible to go from riding to church on Sunday mornings to the rain ride that I rode the other year. It was 160 miles one day, a ride across Indiana. Reading your Bible, praising God in worship, a rich prayer life, and being generous with your time and money will also to help you to enrich your spiritual life as well. So I'll see you on the Pumpkin Vine.
To kind of wrap this up, I found a scripture in Proverbs that I thought really said it well. It's Proverbs 3, 1 to 6. My child, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and years of life and abundant welfare they will give you. Do not let loyalty and faithfulness forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. So you will find favor and good repute in the sight of God and of people. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not rely on your own insight. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. Now it's time for sharing.